4 years later, Charles Dudley Warner, writing about Eastern Kentucky, concurred, "Worthless, good for nothing, irreclaimable, were words I often heard applied to the people of this region and that," Warner wrote. "I'm not so despondent of their future. Railways, trade, and site of enterprise and industry will do much with this material." Much to the dismay of Warner and other writers, modernization failed to eliminate moonshining in Appalachia during the 1890s. But the continuation of this profession was nearly the result of geographical isolation, nor the product of ethnic origins. It was rather a response to the region's increasing connectedness to the larger market economy. In 1891, the nationwide depression began that would continue until 1897. This economic crisis made moonshining an attractive alternative for some Highlanders, who saw the cash value of their farms plummet during those years. In 1894, the U.S. Congress raised the federal liquor tax. This new tax encouraged evasion, because many small distillers believed that it reduced their profit margin. Meanwhile, the enactment of local option laws further encouraged illicit distilling by providing a wider market for moonshiners who, without legal competition, often raised the price of alcohol on mountain residents who didn't appreciate the ban. Other illicit distillers also took advantage of industrialization to expand their operations, selling their product to a new clientele: thirsty lumberjacks, miners, and millhands. Most of these moonshiners used their wits rather than a Winchester rifle to evade revenuers, but some did resort to violence. Between 1891 and 1895, for instance, illicit distillers operated a White Cap Club in Wilkes County, North Carolina, to protect their whiskey operations from federal and local officials. Modeled partly on the Ku Klux Klan, White Caps had appeared in Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia in the late 1880s. Like the Klan, these vigilantes wore disguises and terrorized African Americans in an attempt to maintain white supremacy. They also paid unwelcome visits to informers and fired on federal agents conducting raids. In the Roaring River section of Wilkes County, these terrorists ruled with an iron fist. According to the Wilkesboro Chronicle in 1895, White Caps there were an energetic people in the cause of Satan. The newspaper elaborated, "Last Friday night, a crowd went to Ansel Previtt's and called him to the door and shot him through the thigh. They then went to John Previtt's nearby and tore down his dwelling. They then went on to an unoccupied house belonging to Matthew Previtt and burned it. John and Matthew were sons of Ansel, who was a witness a few days ago in a case against W.C. Wiles, charged with blockading. It is dangerous to be safe up there." Although such violence was an exception to the rule, journalists and local colorists continued to portray it as widespread, the product of an isolated culture that needed civilizing. "Mountain people have customs quaint and curious, elsewhere obsolete," S.M. Davis wrote in the Missionary Review in 1895. "Their moral looseness is dreadful, but what can be expected where sometimes three generations live, eat, and sleep in small windowless cabins?" Even writers like Francis Lind, who downplayed the level of moonshine violence in Appalachia, conceded that illicit distilling was the result of a culture not sufficiently in touch with modern civilization. Emil O. Peterson concurred, "3 hours' ride takes one from the heart of a busy civilization to a certain moonshine quarter on the slope of the Blue Ridge Mountains, where may still be found true children of nature and the primitive customs of forest dwellers." Much of this literature also served as propaganda for the uplift movement of the 1890s. Missionary Margaret Johannes, a little moonshiner for instance, chronicles the rescue of a rural mountain girl from poverty and ignorance. The girl lives in a crude cabin built of logs and the branches of trees and clay. One day she accompanies her father, whom revenuers had arrested for illicit distilling, to the town of Marshall in Madison County. She's dumbfounded, having never seen windows, sealed walls, and trains. A town resident helps the poor little thing by convincing the community to build a new cabin for her father. The place is a little nearer to civilization than the old cabin, but yet it's wild enough to be homelike to them, the narrator concludes. As for the father, he'll go at some legitimate work, tobacco raising perhaps. While perpetrating the myth of violent Appalachia, stories like this also reinforced middle-class America's belief that moonshining prevented mountain whites from embracing wage labor,